quiet quitting. You may have heard it. The term is trending on TikTok, and it's all about setting boundaries at work. Here's user Sarai's Threads playing both a boss and employee.
Did you tell everyone in the office about quiet quitting? This is creating an unhealthy mindset for our employees. But don't you think that telling your employees to go above and beyond for a company that pays them a salary that they can barely live off of, don't you think that's unhealthy?
Now, of course, wanting a work-life balance is not new. But the idea of quiet quitting has gained traction as burnout continues to rise. And for more, we're joined by reporter Taylor Telford, who covers corporate culture for The Washington Post. Hi, Taylor.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Quiet quitting is a weird phrase. It seems like a misnomer, right? Because we're talking about people who want to do good work. They just don't want to do more than they're paid for. They don't feel like giving up their nights and weekends. Is that how you interpret this?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Putting it simply, quiet quitters aren't really quitting. Instead, they're basically renouncing hustle culture itself and kind of quitting the idea of going above and beyond at work. It's kind of a new term for an old concept of employee disengagement, but at the moment, it is really resonating strongly with people across the workforce, but especially those Gen Z and millennial knowledge workers that are really fighting to rewrite the rules of the workplace.
Burnout was already, according to the WHO, at a serious level before the pandemic began, and a study from the American Psychological Association confirms that burnout continues to rise. Do you think that's why quiet quitting is trending?
That's a great question. At this particular moment, it is arriving at a time of unprecedented burnout. And it's coming in on the heels of the Great Resignation, in which workers showed just how much they're willing to walk away from jobs that kind of don't meet their expectations. We saw an average of nearly 4 million employees leave their jobs each month throughout 2021 over clashes of flexibility and kind of a widespread reevaluation of how work should fit into people's lives. And then if you also take even kind of a further step back, it's also happening at the end of summer and ahead of Labor Day when companies are getting ready to make the next kind of return to office push, which is sure to stir up these tensions even more.
This seems to me to be a real reversal in some ways, especially when you're talking about tech and knowledge workers, because it has not been that long since we saw a real, and not just admiration, but actually almost putting some of the tech entrepreneurs onto a pedestal, idolizing people like Steve Jobs when they said they would put in 20 hours a day, or Bill Gates sleeping in his office, and all of these people saying that they basically made work their entire lives. It hasn't been that long since that's the way people wanted to be. That's what they thought success looked like. Is it just burnout that you think is making this change?
You know, that's an interesting point. I think that if we look at the trends in terms of the way that people kind of relate work to their lives over the past few decades, the kind of buy-in actually has been declining, even though, like you said, there's also, you know, this really strong kind of push in some corners to, you know, dedicate your whole life to work. We saw the emergence of the term work-life balance in the 1970s and 80s as baby boomers were kind of trying to find a way to characterize the efforts to achieve a balance between like career and family and having it all. And then we kind of saw Gen X prioritize that balance and kind of embrace like remote work and paid time off. But the difference, I think, in what's happening right now and maybe, you know, much more recently, like in the past like 5-6 years, is that millennials and now Gen Z workers, they're much more interested in finding a career path that will give them the kind of life that they want outside of work, as opposed to the more traditional approach of finding a job first and then building your whole life around, you know, that schedule, your bosses, all that kind of stuff. And then I think, you know, on top of that, the pandemic just really sped things up by physically separating workers from their employers and their colleagues and kind of making it easier for people to see what their lives would be like if work wasn't taking up so much space.
Where do you think this fits in the tug of war that we have seen in the past few years between labor and employers? In other words, it's a tight labor market. Bosses may be trying to demand that workers go back to the office, but workers in many ways are more empowered than they were just a few years ago. So where does quiet quitting fit into this landscape?
Yeah, like you said, the power dynamic between employees and employers has shifted significantly. But the thing that's interesting is that we also have these kind of conflicting signals right now where you're seeing layoffs bubble up, you're seeing kind of cracks form in the economy. But at the same time, the labor market is really, really strong. And the reality for a lot of companies is that for their high performers, those people have a lot of other options right now. And so it's really in companies' best interest to keep those employees happy, even if it means, you know, making concessions to the way that those jobs are done. But for everybody else, I think that quiet quitting has become kind of, I don't know, an off-ramp or a solution that allows people to exercise the kind of control that they want to have over their lives, even if they're kind of lacking, you know, the degree of control that they would like to have to put themselves in a different situation employment-wise.
That's reporter Taylor Telford, who covers corporate culture for The Washington Post. Thank you, Taylor.
Thank you so much.